Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the beautiful day you've blessed us with to be able to come into your house, an opportunity to be able to get into your word. Please help us now as we get into your word to be able to understand it, to apply it to our lives, to grow close to you, and let all of it bring honor and glory to you. As we pray in Jesus' precious holy name, amen. Our Exploring the Word series in the book of Proverbs, we'll pick it back up here in chapter 12. We are still in a section of the Proverbs which are very short ones, you might say, that each verse or just a couple of verses apply to a particular subject. We'll get right back into it here in Proverbs chapter 12. It reads, "Whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish." Some people don't like to be challenged or tested or corrected if they are wrong. They hate reproof or being corrected, basically, is what he's speaking of here. Like they like to think they know what they know is true and don't want anybody to contradict or go against what they think they know is fact. We sure see a lot of that around. But a person that, as it says, loveth instruction, loveth knowledge. If you really like to learn, and you like to be taught, and are willing to be taught, you have a desire for it, a craving for it. Verse 2, "A good man obtaineth favor of the Lord, but a man of wicked devices will he condemn." That one's short, but very precise in what it's saying there. And the only way to be a good person is to be cleansed in the blood of Jesus Christ and have on the righteousness of Jesus Christ, because we ourselves are not good. Verse 3, "A man shall not be established by wickedness, but the root of the righteous shall not be moved." The being established means being secured or being on a good foundation. But if your foundation is on Jesus Christ, then you can be assured that that is a solid foundation that won't be crumbled apart or fail. Verse 4, "A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones." A virtuous woman or a virtuous man would be a crown to their spouse. So a man for a woman or a woman for a man. So that if they come together and have virtue, then they can live in harmony and be an honor and a glory to each other and not bring shame to the relationship. When you have God in the center point of your relationship, then you have true virtue. But if you don't have God there, then you haven't got much to hold on to. Verse 5, "The thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are deceit." The words of the wicked are to lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright shall deliver them. The wicked are overthrown and are not, but the house of the righteous shall stand. A man shall be commended according to his wisdom, but he that is of a perverse heart shall be despised. He that is despised and hath a servant is better than he that honoreth himself and lacketh bread. Now, 8 and 9 there, being despised is not combined. These are not together. This is good that these are broken up. Because 8 there, "A man shall be commended according to his wisdom." Like, if you are wise, and that is the true wisdom, comes from God, of course, then you will be commended for that. "But he that is of a perverse heart shall be despised." You're not going to have peace. You're not going to be loved and cared for by others if you are of that perverse heart. But in 9, he gets into a different subject, even though it uses the word despised again. Here, speaking of someone that might not be very popular, who is despised, he that is despised, and hath a servant, this is indicating someone who has a little prosperity. Because if you have some prosperity, then you can afford to have a servant. And in the second part here, it reads, is better than he that honoreth himself and lacketh bread. Someone who is puffed up with pride and might be a popular person that doesn't have anything. The person that is not so popular and has something is better off. Verse 10, a righteous man regardeth the life of his beast. This would be the animals that are under his control. Speaking of here, be your cattle or your ox or your beast of burden or whatever livestock that you have. These days, a lot of folks just have pets. But if you really take care of your pet and you look after them, then that is an attribute of someone who is righteous. Someone who knows that we have been given dominion over the animals, and along with that, a stewardship, a responsibility to look out for them. And if we've been given the stewardship of an animal in our care, then we should display righteousness in taking care of that animal properly. But as it says in the rest of this here, but the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. Like, the wicked can be cruel even at doing it their best, or at their tender mercies, as it says here, or in their bowels, as one indicated that this could mean, that within them, that they had their attitude toward their animals is abusive or neglectful, mistreating them. Verse 11, he that tilleth his land shall be satisfied with bread, but he that followeth vain persons is void of understanding. Well, this one's interesting, the way that they combine these. It's like, how does the first part pertain to the second part? He that tilleth his land shall be satisfied with bread. That one makes pretty good sense standing on its own. That means if you get out there and work, cultivate the land, that you're going to have a crop. But he that followeth vain persons is void of understanding. Like, vain persons, void of understanding. It's like it doesn't have much sense. No understanding there if you follow vain persons. What's vain persons got to do with cultivating your ground? If you're following after somebody that is temporal, which would be another way of putting vain, something is temporary, something that is fleeting away, not concerned about the future, not concerned about preparing or working for your needs or supplies. So in that way, you could follow that. But he that followeth vain persons, or someone who is not really out there doing the work, preparing to meet your needs, is void of understanding. Like, if you don't get out here and work and achieve something to acquire your needs, then you would fall into the second category here as being void of understanding. You got to work in order to have the benefits from that work. Get out here and till the ground and plant some crops, you get some benefit from it. But if you do not, and you're just thinking, okay, I got a meal, I'm fed today, and not worry about, well, what are you going to eat tomorrow, then you are without understanding. It would be one way to look at that. Verse 12, the wicked desireth the net of evil men, but the root of the righteous yieldeth fruit. The wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips, but the just shall come out of trouble. Being honest and forthright, not lying. Where does that go? Oh, what a tangled web we weave when we first set out to deceive. That sort of applies to this. That if the wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips, you start planting or plotting a deception. It's going to entangle you with that. Many times you tell one lie, you're going to have to tell four or five more just to keep that one lie in a belief. To keep convincing somebody of the first lie, you might have to tell even more lies. So you get tangled up in that. Verse 14. A man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth. A lot of emphasis on what you say, how you say it, on how it can benefit you. And the recompense of a man's hands shall be rendered unto him. There again, reference back to if you labor in the right way, you're going to have the fruit that you need, both in the physical world and spiritual. Verse 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. Over in Judges, we see a time when the children of Israel were without a king. And in Judges chapter 17 and verse 6, it reads, "In those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes." When you try to decide what is right and wrong yourself, you are described as a fool. Verse 15 of Proverbs again, "The way of the fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise." When you hearken or listen to the counsel that can come from paying attention to what the Holy Ghost is trying to teach you, and those that are led by the Lord to teach and preach and spread the gospel, when you are willing to accept that and receive that, that is a wise move. And you are wise when you listen up to the Holy Ghost especially. But those that don't want to hear it, want to make the decision to them for themselves what is right, what is wrong, what is correct, what is false, then they are, as it says, fools. Verse 16, "A fool's wrath is presently known, but a prudent man covereth shame." Self-control is very important. We need to keep ourselves under control. One of the things that we can display as Christians, a Christian attribute you may say, is temperance, which is keeping things under control, being under control, controlling your temper, which is, could apply to this. When a person loses their temper and just flares out anger, that would be the fool's wrath as presently known. But if you control your temper and keep that in, when it's prudent to keep that in, then you'll be without shame, as it says. But a prudent man covereth shame. Verse 17, "He that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness, but a false witness deceit." That one's pretty simple. "There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health." The harsh, cruel, devastating, harmful words that can be spoken versus the wise would be not saying something that is harmful. Does that mean you should never criticize someone? If you're criticizing them out of hatred or being spiteful or anger, then no, you don't criticize someone that way. You know, with the three C's, they say, don't criticize, condemn, or complain when you're dealing with your loved ones. Because you can strike out so swiftly and so harmfully by what you say and really hurt those that are around you, especially hurting those that are closest to you by just striking out. And that's not what a Christian should be doing. Verse 19, "The lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment." Deceit is in the heart of them that imagine evil. That's kind of the basis of of their behavior in evil as being deceitful, being lying and conniving. But to the counselors of peace is joy. There shall no evil happen to the just, but the wicked shall be filled with mischief. This one you'd have to worry, ponder on and wonder. There shall no evil happen to the just. What is he really saying here? Because we know there's bad things that happen to good people all the time. We have a lot of evidence of that. Your own lives and a lot of that in the scriptures. There's been a lot of bad things happen to good people. Because there shall no evil happen to the just. That would seem to be a contradiction to that. Because we sure have a lot of evidence in the scriptures of a lot of bad stuff happening to the good people. But the wicked shall be filled with mischief. Got to make you wonder there. What is he really trying to tell us here? This is as a general rule. In the proverb, all these, well not all of them, but most of them we see here, are generalizations of things that will occur. As a general occurrence, people that are righteous are blessed by the Lord. But it doesn't mean that once you become a Christian, that everything is going to be great, nothing harmful is ever going to happen to you, that no evil will ever come upon you. Because evil will come upon you. The Lord tells us about that. He cautions the new church. He cautions the disciples. He cautions them all that persecutors will be upon them. That blessed are he that is persecuted for righteousness' sake. We will be persecuted. And that is evil that comes upon us. So that you would think, well, maybe that's a contradiction to this. But these are proverbs. You got to remember the difference between proverbs and the instructions and wisdom of the Lord. In the proverbs we see here that are generalizations of things, not to be considered something that is so dogmatic that, all right, if you're righteous, evil will never come upon you. No, that wouldn't apply to this. But as a general rule, those that are righteous are blessed and protected by the Lord. There will be evil come upon you, and that evil will be perpetrated upon you most of the time by Satan and his followers. But sometimes the evil that comes upon us is put upon us by our own actions. In the Lord's model prayer, where he says, deliver us from evil, that evil is speaking of the evil that is within ourselves. We are born into this world sinners. And that evil is there, and the evil can rise up in us. And until we leave this world and receive a glorified body, we are still human and capable of turning against the Lord and capable of rising up evil within us. And if we stay on the right path in the full blessings of the Lord, the full grace of the Lord, then we'll have all of the blessings he has in mind for us. But if we pull aside by our own actions, then that is the evil that can come upon us that he speaks of in the model prayer. But there'll also be evil out there in the world that is going to come upon us as Christians, persecution and so forth. We see a lot of that going on. So this is a general rule, or is a generalization or a proverb. Most of the time, a Christian is more blessed than anyone else. Sometimes bad things do happen to good people. And that's because we live in a cursed world. So don't take this out of context or take it out of emphasis on what it's really saying here. But as a general rule, the just are more blessed than anyone else in the world. And that bad things will not happen to them because they are protected by God Almighty, by the many, many angels he has around all of us, guiding us, protecting us, by the Holy Ghost that is right within us, giving us guidance, giving us direction, giving us wisdom. Chapter 12, verse 22 here gets into the subject of lying once again, where it says, lying lips are abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are His delight. An abomination is something that nauseates or makes God sick. He don't like it when people lie. We see over and over through the scriptures where He tells us not to lie one to another, not to be false witnesses, not to be untrue, to stay on the right pathway, to be honest all the time and not to lie. Because when you lie, that upsets the Lord. Verse 23, a prudent man concealeth knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaimeth foolishness. There again, you could take this one and say, all right, a prudent man concealeth knowledge. So that should that be considered, okay, everything that you know that is knowledge, which is the truth and the wisdom, means you need to conceal it, hide it, not share it? No, it doesn't mean that. You got to take it for what it's telling us here. What it's conceal it. You bring it into you. You hold on to it. And you cherish it in that sense of concealing it. But don't forget to share it as well. A prudent man concealeth knowledge. I mean, just hang on to it and keep it within you. But the heart of fools proclaimeth foolishness. They're very quick to just spew out their foolishness, those that are fools. Verse 24. The hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. This here would be the hard-working diligent, would be those that are ambitious, would be those that become the rulers. And those that are slothful or lazy are the ones that are going to wind up being the lower class that are just under the rule of those others, and they're paying tribute or under tribute, being paying taxes. Does that mean you're a slothful if you pay taxes? No. You see, all these proverbs, you could take them and twist them around and make them say something that He's not trying to tell us here. Would this mean that the diligent are those that rule and those that are not rulers are lazy and slothful? And you're lazy and slothful if you pay taxes? Because if you're really prudent, if you're really diligent, if you're really hardworking, then you won't be paying taxes? No, I don't mean that at all. Because He tells us in the New Testament, give tribute to whom tribute is due. He tells us. It's Christian behavior to pay your taxes, to pay tribute. So be careful how you interpret this one. The hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. Verse 25. Heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop. You get bowed down. You get overburdened with heaviness. But a good work maketh it glad. The righteous is more excellent than his neighbor, but the way of the wicked seduceth them. More righteous, more excellent than his neighbor. Don't get this and turn it around and try to be puffed up with pride or arrogance, thinking that you're better than someone else, because it says the righteous is more excellent than his neighbor. And who is your neighbor? How are you going to apply this? Got to be careful with all these, to look at them and apply them in a proper way. A righteous man is more excellent than an unrighteous man. Could be attached to that. Because it says, but the way of the wicked seduceth them. Their ways, the ways of the wicked. The wicked is who He's speaking of here as being the neighbor to the righteous. This is not just talking about somebody that lives next to you. This is comparing the righteous to the unrighteous. And being righteous is a more excellent way to be than to be unrighteous. And that doesn't mean that you are anything special. It means that you are blessed and with the grace of the Lord. And that is excellent. But don't let it puff you up with pride, making you think that you're better than someone else that is not a Christian. Verse 27, the slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting. This here, the slothful man, there again, this is meaning someone is lazy, not a hard worker. roasteth not that which he took in hunting. This is speaking of somebody who is wasteful. Someone who wastes what they've been given or what they have acquired or what they've been blessed with. You see this so much anymore, just flat out waste. It's amazing how much waste there is. If you was to go to a landfill or like over here in Roanoke, the transfer station there, and see the things that are dumped out over there at the landfill. So many things that are just plumb wasted. And so much food. You go to a buffet, you see people pile up their plates, just heaping big piles of plates, and they'll take a bite here and there, and oh, I don't like that. Just throw platefuls of food away. Just not appreciating what they've been blessed with. And a lazy person, and here in these times, you could see someone who's been given everything or receives food or clothing or shelter given to them because that they are poor. Are they poor because they are slothful and wasteful? Or are they poor because of a situation that they couldn't control? But this is speaking of someone who is just flat out lazy and has acquired something and then won't even take proper care of it and wastes it. The slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of the diligent man is precious. Precious in his sight. He takes care of it. He tends to it. Doesn't waste it. Doesn't throw it away. Like I was saying about the landfill, about the restaurants. That if you see somebody who really appreciates and takes care of what he's been blessed with, uses it to the fullest, that is someone who displays righteousness, appreciates the blessings the Lord hath given them. All right, let's finish it up here in verse 28. In the way of righteousness is life, and that would be eternal life, of course. And in the pathway thereof there is no death. Because when you are born again, you are going to live forever. And that's an awesome way to finish this up. And that is, if you give your life over to Jesus Christ, that you have eternal life and no death, no more separation from the Lord ever for eternity. Let's close. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this time that we've had to be able to get into your word. Please help us to apply it to our lives, grow closer to you, and share it with others. We thank you so much for all the many opportunities you give us to be able to be a part of your work and encourage us this week as we go out into the world. We thank you so much as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Thank you all.